Welcome to episode 46 of the Band of Gamers podcast. My name is Greylock, 3491, and this week I'm joined by DBQ Hams.
And everyone thought you got rid of me. Welcome back.
Osiris Prime.
Hello, hello.
And the man whose name begins with Z, Zeus Adamus.
What's up, what's up?
I always got to remember, every once in a while, I got to mix it up because I hate putting Zeus last just because he starts with a Z. So maybe we'll do that next
time. Put him first next time.
Yeah. I try to mix it up every once in a while so he gets to go first instead of last. But hey, welcome back, everybody. And DB, it's good to have you back.
Thank you very much. It's good to be back. After being on the road a lot for work, it's nice to be back home in front of a console.
Nice. Well, we're glad to have you back, and we're going to roll right into our first segment where we each talk about a few games we've been playing recently. And me, my list is pretty short, just a couple minutes here and there of Age of Empires Castle Siege. If you want to join us, I forget what they call it. It's the CAG Alliance. That's the name of our alliance, the CAG Alliance. And we got a handful of people over there, so please, if you pick up that free game and you want to play, join us. My brother Spiral gave me some very good advice. He's like a level 9. I'm a level 5. He's like, I wish I didn't rank up so fast. He says, I shouldn't, instead of ranking up my castle all the time, I should have ranked up all my stuff. And I have to agree with him, having ranked from 3 to 4 to 5 pretty quick, I think that was a bad idea. So I'm just going to stay at where I am and rank up all my farms and my quarries and all that stuff, because man, it gets much harder to fight people when you're the higher up you go. That and then Destiny played finally after canceling 3 weeks in a row. I got some Destiny in last night with my buddy Mace, and you know, just doing the daily and some strikes. And you know, I came to the conclusion that I really don't have a sniper or a rocket launcher I love. Like, I used to have these great weapons, and I'm just not in love. I do have my MIDI tool. I do have my Soros regime. I do have my Z Halo. For my primaries, I love those, but yeah, just really don't, really not loving my I don't have my Icebreaker anymore, my Hunger of Crota. Yeah, so just some reflections from Destiny last night. And Zeus, you had a question?
Maybe not.
I think I lost him.
No, I'm here. Sorry, I hit my Windows key this time instead of the Alt button. So constantly switching keyboards does not help me find the hotkey for Ventrilo. So, with the Castle Siege thing, I want to ask, so you say you've gotten a bit into the game, and now you're realizing maybe you should have built yourself up a little further. And the game that I remember that comment strikes a chord with me on was Need for Speed Carbon. So, in Need for Speed Carbon, it was highly unusual in comparison to other Need for Speed games where you weren't setting yourself up well if you took kind of the survey sim approach and just collected a bunch of different cars. You really needed to focus on one car and really build that one up. And I ran through, you know, the career mode and got myself into that situation. And basically, I think I didn't have to start over. I think what I wound up doing was I sold every other car off and then just invested heavily in upgrading one car. So my question is this a campaign ending discovery that you made? Do you feel like you're going to need to go back and start over? Or do you foresee that there's a way for you to kind of dig yourself out of it and pivot and restructure or re-level the way you need to get through this game?
No, that's a great question. I think I had a similar experience. As you were talking, I was having a deja vu in a driving game. But back to Castle Siege, I think, you know, being Age of Empires 3 fan, I always liked getting my castle ranked up because that meant everything else was better in the game. I could have better this, I could have better that. And I was going against AI, and all the AI had always started when I started the game. So we all started at age 1. So it was kind of racing against them, too. With Castle Siege, when you rank up your castle, you now start going up against more difficult opponents just because you ranked up your castle. So it's like, if I have everything else ranked up but my castle, I'll probably be the most powerful or one of the most powerful people at age 5. Whereas if I rank up to 6, 7, and 8, I'm probably going to be one of the weakest guys at 8. So I definitely think it's something you can recover from just by pausing and not ranking up your castle, but ranking up everything else you can around it. You know, doing your research trees, upgrading your catapults and all your different parts and pieces to the warfare, to the army and to the defense and all that. Because you get points too when people attack you and fail. So ranking up your walls and all that. So yeah, if you keep ranking up your castle, you'll find yourself almost like in a higher level league, but with all low level stuff around your castle. So I think you can come back to it. Go ahead. Somebody else had a question.
Yeah, that was me. Actually, you answered it. So your level is actually the age, right? When you're looking at your castle.
Yeah, that's what I was I'm sorry. Yes, the age of your castle. So level 5 or age 5. Yep.
Okay, I just want to be clear. Yeah, I am having the same problem actually now, because I'm going to attack people. I'm just getting like ripped apart by their defenses. So I gotta do the same thing.
Yeah, you age 5 now too?
I'm a 6 right now.
Okay. Yeah. So good advice. Good advice for anybody who's playing that. It's free too. It's a free game. You only can play it for like 5 minutes at a time before you have to either spend money or just wait for, I think we talked about it last week, Prime, wait for 2 days for your castle to upgrade or, whatever. So good times.
Your resources.
Yeah, wait for your resources. That's right. Hey, since I already get you on the line, Prime, why don't you go ahead and tell us what you've been playing?
All right. So I've been playing actually jumped onto a different server, just a random server that someone had posted on forums I go on, just because I want to kind of, now that I know a little bit more than what I'm doing, I wanted to start over, and this guy or person, I don't know if it's a guy or girl, he just had, a P versus E, so just, person versus the environment server that he had started up, or she started up. And so I've just been starting over on that. I've been doing that for about a month now or so. And they seem to, kind of be on for a week, maybe, 5 days or so. And then they kind of offer, about the same amount of time. So kind of whenever I can jump onto that one. I still jump on, when that one's off, I'll jump onto my old server that was on just to kind of to build up some stuff. But that one, I think, like I mentioned, the one tribe on there, they kind of, put... wood pillars down, so you can't really build anything when someone else has put something down, just being jerks, so they put them all over the place. So I did that, and then I jumped back into Lego Marvel Avengers for a little bit. I actually finally got to New York, where I can kind of just, you kind of screw around, kind of like in just the Lego Marvel, the first Lego Marvel game that they had. So I'll probably have my son jump on to that, so we can just kind of screw around in the city and just do random missions and stuff like that. And then I've been playing Call of Duty Black Ops, the first one, because it finally came on backwards compatibility on the Xbox One. So I've been jumping back into that, and I don't know what it is exactly, but the controls are super sensitive. So I actually got my sensitivity down to a 2, which is, obviously almost totally low, but even that, sometimes it's just... It's just too sensitive. I'm I just go to move a little, I'm like whipping around. So I guess I just got to get used to it. So I thought Black Ops 3 played fast, but evidently this plays a lot faster. So I'm just trying to get used to the controls again. And then other than that, that's pretty much it. DB?
So are you with Black Ops, are you playing going back through the campaign, or is the multiplayer up and running and the community's back to it now since it's backwards compatible?
No, I've just been playing the multiplayer right now. I actually have to go through and do the campaign, because I actually never went through and did it. I think I did the first two or three missions maybe, when I think you start off in Cuba, and but no, yeah, I got to run back through the single player campaign. And but yeah, there's and actually on this Black Ops, they haven't done it for a while actually, I think, on the Call of Duty games, but they actually give you a counter of how many people are online, and there's been 90 to 100,000 people online when I've jumped on, so it's a pretty good community going on, so should be good.
Yeah, that's a pretty good size crowd then, compared to, I'm thinking of like Battlefront and Battlefield 4 servers stats. You know, 100,000 people is pretty impressive. It's four times what Battlefront was just a month ago.
Yeah, I'm not sure how, you know, if that's like real time or if it, you know, it's what do you want to say, like not timed out, but like staggered by a few minutes or something. I'm not sure, but yeah, it always seems to be pretty high up there.
Neat. Cool. Well, anything else? How's your son enjoying Lego Marvel?
We've played it a few times. Like I said, I just got to the city where it kind of opens up, where you can kind of just do like, you know, open world style stuff. So, but he likes it even before that, when we were just playing the missions. He seems to be getting kind of the missions down more now that he can actually, you know, we actually have to do something. We have to, you know, there's a goal that we have to do on each thing. And I think it kind of helped. I jumped on Batman 3, Beyond Gotham, was probably like a month or two ago that I was playing with him. So, and we were kind of, that's pretty much all missions as far as I can tell so far. I haven't gotten to any open world areas yet on that one. But yeah, he's liking it so far. Oh, and I did get, I mentioned last week, but you weren't on, but I did get Lego Dimensions also. A couple weeks ago. So we've been playing that. He's been liking that.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, that Lego Dimensions basically is just another Lego game. So if he's enjoying it, I would think that he would enjoy that too. How is he liking the physical aspects of it?
He gets a little confused when you have to kind of switch around the guys on the game piece, on the portal, on certain, you know, certain missions. Or like if you're going through the story, you have to put, you know, Wild Style in the middle, or you got to put her on the, you know, on the right-hand side, or Batman, or whatever. And he's like, why do you got to do that all the time? I was like, ah, that's just the way the game is. So, but otherwise, yeah, he likes it.
Cool. Yeah, there is. I mean, that's, it's kind of neat that it forces you to interact with it that way, but it's also pretty arbitrary and doesn't actually have any real connection in the game other than the fact that you're just having to move a Lego guy around. So... so yeah, I've been on the road a lot, which means I've had my 3DS with me and some portable gaming with me. The thing that I've been playing the most has been Battleborn Tap. So it is like Tap Titans or so many other cookie clicker type of games where you're leveling up and you're doing more damage and you have an ability and you're unlocking other characters. But it's all set within the Battleborn world, and so... It's been kind of an interesting way to interact with those Battleborn characters, but it is only 15 of the 25 characters or so, so I've kind of capped out on it after prestiging a couple times and unlocking everybody. So, which, it's still been kind of interesting. It's been a way to, truthfully, I've played more Battleborn Tap, which is a free mobile game on Android and iOS, then I have the actual Battleborn game, which I own on PC. So, but when I've been home, I've been trying to play Battleborn, and it's good. I've got my settings tweaked. I enjoy the PC version better than the console version. I'm running in 60 frames per second, and I can play with my HUD a little bit so I have a better field of view, because it takes up too much in the console, is my perspective. But every time I play a couple games of Battleborn, I end up going and playing Heroes of the Storm. That Battleborn is interesting and a little different, but it makes me... It's not as good as the sum of its parts. That it is part MOBA in terms of some of the PvP. It's also a control point domination type of game mode. But then there's also the strike-based kind of co-op, up to five players running missions. And the strike-based stuff is pretty interesting, and I'm enjoying it. I have a chance to play with my uncle on Steam, and that's been good. It's been enjoyable. It kind of scratches that Borderlands itch a little bit, but the fact that it's not persistent means that I've ended up going back to Borderlands and playing a little bit of that, or at least the pre-sequel. And the MOBA-S player versus player parts, I play a couple rounds of, and it's not bad, but I'd rather play a third-person perspective MOBA like Smite, or go the overhead perspective like Heroes of the Storm. And so I've reinvested more time in Heroes of the Storm. Maybe it's with Overwatch and Tracer being a character there, but it just is a much smoother and enjoyable experience than what Battleborn's been giving me, which is too bad, because I think it's an interesting world, and they've tried something different, but I'd rather go back and play the two things that make up what it is. How about you, Zeus? You've been playing some other new stuff this month as well, right?
Oh, yeah. So I'm pretty happy with my playlist, actually. This is one of the few times that I think I've actually got things on my playlist that might feel relevant to listeners and others. So let me start with the one that probably people are the least interested in. I've been grinding through some more Grid 2 on the PC. I guess the big shift there is I've given up on wheel and pedals on Grid 2. And I'm walking away from it thinking that it's not me. Maybe some of it is, but I don't know what it is with that game, but something in the calibration setup and the advanced settings for the wheel and pedals are just off. And evidence of that was yesterday when I dropped the wheel and pedals and just plugged in the 360 controller. Now, I had been monkeying around with the analog settings and a lot of the tweaks in the steering, and theoretically, those settings should have also been applied to the 360 controller. But when I put the 360 controller in, it just played like a completely different game. So I don't know if it flips to some default tuning profile when you plug in a 360 controller. There seem to be options or verbiage in the menu that would indicate that is at least an option. But whenever I put the 360 controller, it just, the whole driving model seems to change. I pull off passes that there's no way in the world I could pull off with wheel and pedals. So I think there's something going on under the hood on Grid 2, and I'm just going to play that with my 360 controller from now on. And then the other two games that I've been playing, I played, I bought Doom for the PlayStation 4. After thinking that I wasn't going to be interested in it, which has kind of been a recurring theme this year. Put that in, and the game is not... It's probably like the way people typically describe Doom. It's a really fun game. It plays wonderfully. It's not very deep. But I do respect it, given that I've talked a lot about how one of the things that's been moderately frustrating me is this burden that you kind of have to go through to extract value out of things like Destiny and other shooters where, what used to be a very simplistic and straightforward game design has become really complicated. So, Doom, you are in the action incredibly quickly. In fact, you are shooting demons before you ever get out of the first room, when you wake up out of your coma, and you have the shotgun, I want to say, like, within 5 minutes. There's no leveling up to get weapons, you just find them. So it's a pleasant departure from other things where, you find weapons and there are weapons drops, but then, can you use the weapon? Are you the right level? Do you need to tweak it with a bunch of settings? Have you found, grimoire or some other type of magical material that you need to add to it to upgrade it? It's just the shotgun, right? The seminal first-person shooter weapon, and you find it, on a dead body and wrest it out of their hands, and it's yours. It's in your inventory. So there's just a lot of things that are pretty pleasant about Doom. It's not going to win any Game of the Year awards, though, but it was really fun. And then I started playing The Last of Us, finally. Now, the Game of the Year package, or complete, or remastered, or whatever it was, I bought... right after, I bought as one of my first games for the PS4 when I got my PS4. Had not played any of the single player. I had bought it mainly to play with some guys who rolled in the multiplayer, and surprisingly it had really great multiplayer. But I finally started the campaign earlier, I guess over the weekend, and that is a and being a father, and particularly having daughters, you know, even, you know, the first few minutes, the opening scene, is really hard to play through and to watch. It's really heart-wrenching. And then you cut to, that's a scene from the past, then you cut to a scene to the present, and I'm really surprised I didn't hear a lot of buzz about this when this game first came out. You know, that second sequence is very much, it feels to be very much like playing a Walking Dead game. And I don't mean that it replicates whatever Telltale has done. I mean, when I played the game, I just felt like this is what it's like to be in The Walking Dead. And all of that is human on human combat. So I've yet to see and fight an infected in the current timeline. Everything has been about fighting humans, and the hand to hand combat is remarkably brutal and incredibly visceral. And it kind of really makes you, again, it kind of evokes that feeling like this must be what Rick Grimes felt like, you know, when the killing started going to humans, right? Stopped just being taking down walkers. But I mean, bones crunch, you hear blood, you know, people scream. So, you know, for 1 hour of gameplay that I played of that game, that's been one of the most amazing gaming experiences that I've ever had starting off a game.
As someone who just finished a half marathon listening to gaming podcasts, all I heard about was Doom. So talk to me a little bit more about, does it feel that shallow? I mean, what people have been talking about is that it's satisfying, but like in an old school kind of visceral way, but the violence is so over the top that it doesn't have any type of connection. I mean, so Zeus, you're playing super violent Doom, but you're also playing a violent Last of Us game, but in a very different emotional perspective. Is there a disconnect there? Are you feeling any difference between those experiences?
Oh yeah, some of it's the characters. You know, in Doom you're killing, you know, demons, parademons on Mars. It doesn't feel very realistic. In contrast to The Last of Us, which, yes, it's set in a fictional future, but the interaction between the human beings feels very real. I think part of what maybe people are commenting on is, you know, Doom's violence feels very cartoony, and very very overstylized, and just feels very fictional. It's satisfying. It's awesome. You know, when a demon's coming at you, and you take them out with you hit them with the shotgun or with the pistol, and then you go in for a melee kill. It kind of just gives you that feeling of like aggro superhero. And so it's satisfying. Whereas I guess, but it's very tone deaf, right? It's very desensitizing. It feels a little bit like watching those last fight scenes in Man of Steel, where you just kind of at a certain point just get desensitized to the violence and destruction. In contrast, again, to The Last of Us, where I was never desensitized. I was very morally aware of what I was doing on screen. I never felt like, oh, this is awesome, right? I'm just a super, you know, bad behind, you know, which is what you feel like in Doom, again, because it feels like it's playing Doom is akin to watching wrestling, right? You know, playing where you really don't care about the violence, right? The violence is kind of the cool thing. Because again, you feel like it's cartoony and overly stylized. But playing The Walking Dead, playing The Last of Us is like watching an episode of The Walking Dead, and this is going to sound overly dramatic, but in kind of staring into the soul of what human beings are capable of, and so you carry away with it a certain moral weight that you don't get when you play Doom in terms of depth.
Yeah, that makes sense. I can see that, and especially the setting with Last of Us, you know, and the emotional connection with the two main characters, where Doom is very much you know, everything that I've been reading about and hearing about feels like it's playing into that kind of Twitch-based action of mid-90s Doom. So, which is makes it successful, right? That's what they were going for, and that's what they achieved. Versus, like, the new Wolfenstein, the gunplay is really good, but they also did some really interesting things with the narrative.
Well, you said it perfectly by evoking the 90s, because what I was going to say was, you know, Doom is very much like 1990s video game storytelling. You wake up, there are demons in your room, obviously you have to fight them. You get a couple audio sound bites from like tape from like audio recorders kind of strung around the base, and you're kind of piecing together in your head the story of what went on, but it doesn't really matter, right? There's no contiguous cohesive narrative to the story of Doom. It's just a bunch of monsters, and obviously you have to kill them, and there's no sense of heroism or you needing to save anyone. It's just competitive gunplay violence. Whereas, you know, in The Last of Us, it's all about things you're trying to do for people. It's vengeance. It's you know, people who have chosen the wrong side. It's all that kind of stuff. And it's definitely a much deeper and meatier narrative. So, did you guys have any more questions on that, or Gray, did you want to roll to community news?
Anybody have any questions for Zeus before I do community news?
Nope, I'm good.
All right, I'll roll on, and we'll take break number one, and we'll talk about CasualAdultRaces.com. We got a new Forza 6 top five this week, and I'm going to say, my favorite was Epic Tags. I was just laughing. I know some of these, this was kind of a collection of some of the greatest hits from the previous videos, but... Prime, you had a favorite that was different, though. What was your favorite?
Yeah, like the wall rides, where they're kind of, you know, crashing up against the side, and they just kind of roll onto the wall there for a little bit before they just come crashing down.
Yeah, I was surprised that Forza even lets that happen, but that was pretty cool, too. So if you want to see what we're talking about, head over to CasualAdultRacers.com, and you can find that video on YouTube as well. It's... Sola Racer X, that's SolaRacerX, Solo Racer X, and good stuff. Next, moving on to CasualAdultGamers.com, joining groups over there is not working well. There was an update to the site that kind of broke the interface for that, so just if anybody's trying to join a group or leave a group, you'll probably have problems for the next couple weeks until that gets updated, so just a heads up, we found that... Well, we're reminded of that this morning. And then that's it for community news. We have no Band of Gamers community news. So if you have any news that you want us to announce on the show, just drop us an email over at podcast. Try that again. podcast@bandofgamers.net. And that's it for this week's community news. And on to segment number two in the news of the week. And guys, I'm gonna just chime in here and say I forgot to mention this during my playlist, and it's kind of late to say it, but I got the floor, so I'm just gonna say it. I watched the movie Pixels last night.
I'm sorry.
It was critically panned, but I kind of liked it. So I want to get your votes. DB, you didn't like it.
I watched it with my son actually, and it's not. As bad, it was not as bad as I expected, but it was not nearly as good as it could be. How about that?
No, that was a good one. There were some things about it that I was like, oh, I don't think I could watch this with my grandkids, because there was some things that were, to me, kind of set, you know, seemed more like preteen versus, you know, younger kids, and which is kind of a shame. But you know, when he's chewing out all of the special forces. He gets a little rough there with the language. Not something I don't think real young kids would be good for. But overall, I thought the centipede scene was pretty freaking awesome. I really did. That was I think maybe the best scene.
Yeah, I think some of the set pieces are pretty interesting. The centipede one, even the Donkey Kong one toward the end, you know. Considering they tried to make a full feature movie out of a 10-minute internet short, You know, I think it's, other than it probably plays, I mean, I think the biggest downside for me was kind of playing to the geeky tropes of a video game players versus kind of leaning into making them heroes versus Adam Sandler and Kevin James.
Yeah, Adam does start out as a real super geek. But yeah, the Donkey Kong was pretty good too, but they were cheating. They were kind of like, they were really cheating during that part, I thought, where in Centipede, they really couldn't cheat. But did either of you other guys see it? Prime or Zeus? Did you guys see it? Did you hate it? Did you love it?
No, I haven't had a chance to see it. I do want to see it though, so I'll maybe report back on it when I check it out.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. The only impression I have it is, you know, Adam Sandler movies seem to have been on a downhill trend, and I don't watch a lot of them right off the bat, so it's hard for me to tell whether or not he's being Nickelbacked, you know, after so many years of everybody being so positive about Adam Sandler. So yeah, I guess I'll check it out eventually, but that's just kind of the sense I've gotten from other people who've seen it or been watching his movies.
I'm just appreciating the fact that you use Nickelback as a verb, so that's nice, Zeus.
Dang it, you beat me to it. I was about to say the same thing. So you were talking about how, you know, how the movie was played out. Do you think, I don't know if you guys ever saw Wreck-It Ralph, that kind of did a better job on that kind of game movie scenario, I guess, if you want to call it that?
So this is where you beat me to the punch, Prime, is I would much rather watch Wreck-It Ralph any day than watch Pixels again. So, it's not that it was terrible, but it's that Wreck-It Ralph does video game characters and culture in such a more compassionate, interesting way.
Gray, did you ever check out Wreck-It Ralph?
I have not seen it. No, I've wanted to see it, but I've never had a chance to. But if it comes on, now I'm going to watch it. So, I just want to go on record saying Pixels is definitely a C-rated movie. It is not an A, it's not a B, it's a C. But I still enjoyed it. Knowing that it was going to be a dumb movie and got really bad ratings, I still found some charm there. So with that said, I'm going to segue back into what we're supposed to be talking about. This week's news and DBQ, your name is first, so you're up first.
Oh, okay, but before we go into news, it almost feels like we should do, that could certainly be a segment, right, of video game movies. Did we do this at one point? And maybe I'm just forgetting, but yeah, Pixels, after watching the most recent Hitman movie, yeah, anyhow, we got Warcraft coming up this summer, so another option for video game movies. But let's talk about other things that are coming, not this summer, but this fall. So, a leaked poster for the Destiny Fall expansion. Again, this is not Destiny 2. This is going to be the final kind of expansion before another paid expansion. It's going to be bigger than the combined expansions of the first year, so House of Wolves and Dark Below. They haven't said if it's going to be quite as big as Taken King, but they haven't released pricing either. And really, the only thing that we have to go on is a Kotaku story that provides a picture. And it's Lord Saladin from the Iron Banner, which is the big PvP kind of weekend events, and some wolves, and it appears to be back up against a wall that is defending, you know, lots of speculation here, right? So he's holding a flaming axe, so maybe that's a new weapon, or a heavy weapon, or a class item, and again, the interesting thing for me here is Lord Saladin and Shax, the kind of gatekeeper to the Crucible, the PvE multiplayer aspects, they're both from the same branch of Titans that have separated during some legendary battles, right? Zeus, you were talking about some grimoires, and so again, this is deep diving into Destiny lore, but it has the potential to create some really interesting stories, and hopefully that they keep moving forward with the idea of the story and the characterizations that they made with the Taken King. And it's also, there's another rumored raid, which would put it on Earth, that makes this expansion kind of coming back to some areas of Earth, and it could be with the Fallen, another set of enemies that we haven't had a raid with yet. So, I continue to play Destiny. I don't necessarily talk about it, but it's not a shame. I just keep plugging away a little bit here and there. I have 3 characters over 300. But, you know, Gray, I know you've been playing Destiny on and off. Is this news get you excited? Does this make you interested? Or is it too little too soon?
You know, great question. I think I'm going to have to wait till the content comes out. I don't do any Crucible. I don't have time to be good enough to do Crucible. You know, I'm really looking for co-op fun, things I can do with co-op with people. And, having gone back through all the missions with Mace and Spiral, that was a whole lot of fun. And, it really depends on the content. I the one time I tried to get a raid together, half the people didn't show up and we failed. So, not interested in raids either. So it'll depend on the content. Right now, I don't think it'll happen. I don't think I'll be buying it. I just don't think there's enough they'll probably want $30 or more for it, and I think I'd be better off just buying a game that's on sale for $30 that's a full-fledged game that has, 20 to 50 hours worth of content in it. You know what I mean? So that's where I am. I don't know how the other guys feel.
Yeah, I think that's a really fair point, right? We've got a lot of stuff coming out this fall, and whether something that's going to be a small expansion is going to be worth the price when by the time we hit Black Friday, there's going to be plenty of games for sale and up and going, and even things that were fall and releases last year have hit some really good discounts lately here as well. So there's a lot of game that you can get for $30 versus an expansion that's going to last you just a couple hours. So, but speaking of getting a lot for your money, Zeus, you've got a story here that might help us out.
Yeah, so, I didn't really put this in the news feed for the story itself. And the story itself is just a quick blurb over on GameSpot about another Xbox One sale. This is the 1 terabyte unit in a bundle for $369. And it comes with Rare Replay, Ori and the Blind Forest, and the Gears of War Ultimate Edition. And me personally, I wouldn't be interested in the first two. I know those are very popular, though, but I have myself been jonesing for the Gears of War Ultimate Edition. And maybe I just need to get a better fix on how many people are playing the multiplayer, because that would have been the reason I would have bought it. And you also get the Halo 5 Limited Edition and Forza Horizon 2. So you get a lot of games and a lot of stuff for $369. I put this in here more so because this is just a continuing trend. It's like every week there's an Xbox One bundle. If I kind of walk it back to 2 months ago, the problem was that all those bundles were the 500 gigabyte SKU. But as of late, they've been the 1 terabyte SKU. And that just seems to be a lot of value for your money. And I know it comes up like every other week or every other day. You know, I see people asking questions about, should I get it now? Should I get it now? Should I get it now? And I got to say, for the money and everything that you get, I'm not entirely sure why somebody wouldn't get an Xbox One. You know, if you're at this point in the generational cycle and you still don't have an Xbox One or a PS4, I would have to say that I think Xbox is pulling off the better, more value for your dollar pricing, and I know that that's not all Microsoft. You know, Amazon in this case is just running their own deal. That wasn't driven or dictated to them by Microsoft, but it just seems like the opportunity is there to snag an Xbox One and have a pretty brilliant library right off the bat of 5 games that are going to occupy a significant chunk of your time before you need to be worried about, what's next month's, games with gold and free games that are coming, much less, any of the retail stuff that's going to launch. I don't know, how have you guys been responding to, or what's your guys' feeling of the volume of questions you've been getting about from gamers who haven't upgraded yet?
Yeah, I've seen that a lot too, just on different forums and stuff. And I guess the other talk, the other side of this too is, everybody's speculating on the next iteration of the Xbox and the PS4, the 4K or the Neo, whatever it's called, and Xbox 1.5, and if we should wait for that, or if that's even going to come out, and I don't know. And I guess other people are speculating, all these kind of fire sales and bundles like this, or maybe it's they're trying to clear what do you call it? Inventory, for the new SKUs that are going to start coming out. But I don't, I'm not, obviously that's nothing's beneficial with those two systems if they're even gonna they're going to come out probably, but at least for the PS4 side. But I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think, for the value that what you're getting is great. Like if you haven't upgraded or if you've got a PS4 and you want to jump into some of those exclusives, this is a great value. I mean, maybe at the you're going to end up waiting until Black Friday when there's in the holiday season where if there is an upgrade, the upgrade's not going to be at a price point that is going to cause somebody to dive in as their second console or somebody who's been price conscious to wait. Then for those type of consumers, I would think that going back to the original model and picking it up on the cheap is going to be the more economical option. But I agree with Zeus. There's a lot of really good bundles here. It's got my kids thinking about a second Xbox One to put downstairs to be able to play Halo 5 together. That there's good value. And I think I agree, I completely agree with Zeus in terms of Xbox and Xbox putting together better bundles of games that people want to play versus PlayStation 4. And that PlayStation 4's bundle is really the remaster of Uncharted, which is fine if you didn't have those games. But at the same time, PlayStation 4 doesn't have to bundle it with anything because they're still selling at a great rate. Or at least they were, and maybe they're slowing down a little bit here with the announcements, where because of the position in the market that Microsoft is, it's good for consumers. They're getting a lot of good value out of it.
Right, and I'll mention on the bundles too. One of the key differences is when you see a PS4 bundle, typically it's a PS4 exclusive. And the thing about PS4 exclusives is they are typically third-person action-adventure games. So, which probably is the final linchpin that I've been mulling over for years, but haven't been able to come up with a succinct answer for about why I'm lukewarm on PlayStation 4 exclusives because I'm not a huge fan of third-person action-adventure games. But they're linear stories that have a definite beginning, middle, and end, and that kind of sort of ends your value, right? Like I don't know, I don't. I mean, do you replay an Uncharted? I feel like you get through that and you get that one game experience. Whereas when Microsoft packs in Halo 5 and Forza Horizon 2, I'm still playing Forza Horizon 2. I'm probably never going to get through anything that resembles all of its content. It's a big, huge survey racing sim, and you could pretty much play it for the entire console's generation. So, but and yeah, too, DB, like you said, I have the same feel, I have the same sense or feeling that this is the point in the business cycle or in the product life cycle where people do get to that point of going, "Hey, should I go ahead and plunk down for a second unit?" Right? It was about. I think I feel like about the 3 year point, the 4 year point in the life cycle is where people start looking around for something like that, or where that becomes palatable. And that's exactly when these units are starting to come out in these pretty price effective bundles. So, anybody have anything else on this story?
I just want to say I loved your synopsis. I kind of feel like that describes why I'm always lukewarm about PlayStation exclusives as well, because aside from Uncharted and a couple other games, I'm not really big into the third-person game genre. So, yeah, put a checkbox next to my name too for that.
Yeah, and for me, it's not because those games. I don't think it's not that I think those games are low quality. It's that it's that they require you to invest in completing the game, which is it's just much more approachable to me when there's a shooter that I can play that has multiplayer that I can play through the story or not play through the story, and I can play it in chunks, or a big survey racing game. My second news story that I had was, Total War Warhammer. Number one, it was just a huge surprise, right? Like, this game kind of just snuck up and came out of nowhere. I don't know that people knew this was coming or thought this was coming. But it's here, dovetailing nicely with the release of the movie. And it's a Total War game, which is pretty exciting. So it's kind of weird to intermix two licenses like this. And it feels a little bit like the RTS version of Tekken X Street Fighter and Street Fighter X Tekken. But at any rate, there's a VR trailer that's out, which I thought was pretty interesting. Unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to check this out, but I believe I'll be able to get to it from my Samsung Gear VR to check it out. These are kind of companion game applications of VR that I do find interesting, even though I'm lukewarm on VR for gaming overall. But I think if you can utilize VR as a companion app for games, like Project Cars, which does VR, but it would be cool if Project Cars had a companion app that allowed you to use your VR headset to, like, view your car and to pop the hood or other things like that. So I think this, with VR being as hot as it is, I'm wondering if this will be something that gets people very interested in Total War Warhammer, even if they just discover it via the VR trailer, and they're not traditional Total War or Warhammer players. Any thoughts on this one?
It got some great reviews, man. I own some of the Total Wars because of Steam sales or Humble Bundles, but haven't really ever played them. Man, the reviews on this game are just stellar. They're awesome.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say no. Unfortunately, I've never played any of these games, but yeah, this looks really cool.
Yeah, there's a bunch of Warhammer content out there. There's a recent Warhammer game for Android that's really neat. Hopefully I'll be able to stream a little bit of that here shortly. And I think Relic is working on a new straight-up Warhammer Dawn of War sequel, I think. I'm not absolutely positive. But like I said, the movie's coming out next month, so I guess I should have expected that we're going to have a lot more of this stuff coming up.
I did play the Dawn of War. They had some co-op in there. It's more of an RTS, and I truly enjoyed that. But again, that's all based in the 40K, right, universe versus this is back in the ancient times. Am I correct in saying that?
I think so. I am not the Warhammer expert, although as much as the games as I've played, I should know the lore better. But yeah, I think so. I think the whole point of 40K is 40K is supposed to be far into the future and near the end times of the Warhammer conflict between man and orc. And then after that, it goes into the world that you see represented in Warhammer Vermintide. So, Prime, did you have some more news to add?
Yeah, I have a couple articles here that I found these past few days. The first one is Halo 5's Forge is actually going to be coming to the PC. It'll be available for Windows 10 as a free download, just as later this year, so probably sometime maybe the end of the summer or maybe during the fall or so. Like I said, doesn't give an exact date, but other than the normal tools that you get, a couple things that they've added is keyboard and mouse support, obviously, since it's going to be on the PC, and 4K resolution. So you'll be able to, design your levels and not only play, I think you can play them on the PC, but you'll also be able to bring it over to the Xbox One. So I thought that was kind of cool that they're doing this. They're not having the full single-player game experience or even, the multiplayer modes, but just the Forge. You can make your maps. I figured, and actually, I heard this on a podcast just today. I was listening to, I think it was an IGN one, the IGN Unlocked podcast for the Xbox. But they were just mentioning how while people have made, probably I haven't played in for a while, but they've made some amazing levels. But being on a keyboard and mouse, you'd be able to, especially the mouse, you'd be able to put everything down a little bit more precisely and just kind of faster, basically, and then doing it on a controller. That should be cool that you'll be able to throw it on your, build it on your PC and then, bring it to your Xbox One and, share it out to everybody. I don't know if you guys have played any Forge levels during your Halo play. I don't know. What do you think about this?
I think it's a great idea. I think it's going to really make some of the Forge levels, it's really going to step it up, and I think it's just a phenomenal idea for Microsoft to embrace this ability for people to create mods on PCs and bring them to the Xbox games. And I love what they're doing with Halo, just the support they're putting behind it. And when I heard this, I was like, this is a home run for Forge addicts, because it is just so going to be so much easier to do that with a keyboard and mouse versus a controller. I mean, just so much quicker. I think hats off to them. Great idea.
Yeah, I agree. I think that for the design aspects, it's going to be a real boon to level designers, and it's a nice way to leverage Microsoft's cross-platform pieces here with Windows 10. So I think it's good things to come.
Yeah, it should be pretty cool. I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think they actually ever bring the full game onto PC? I know they had, what, Halo 2, I think, came out on Vista a while back, or I don't know how long it was. I don't know if it was on the same day as the console or if it was later on, but I know that came out on the PC, and I think they had the, well, those original, not the original one, but it was like Halo CE, which is basically just the original Halo with the multiplayer that you can play on it. Do you think they'd ever bring the full game, or even maybe just like the multiplayer onto PC?
Well, there was a story about them doing it was, I guess, in Russia or somewhere overseas. They were doing a multiplayer-only Halo. It was being developed overseas, and I thought that was weird. I actually have both Halo games for the PC. I think I have every Halo game that was ever made. But I have both of the PC ones. I don't know that I've ever installed and played the Halo 2 game on the PC, but the Halo 1 game on PC was a lot of fun. There was a lot of mods for it, but it also had some pretty awesome multiplayer maps that were not on the original Xbox. So I think we get to see some of those in the Master Chief Collection. But in any case, I struggle with and I'm hoping we get some clarity on this. But I don't. I like the idea that when Microsoft is saying we're releasing a game, if you buy it on one platform, you get it on the other. I love that. So you buy it on Xbox One, you get it on Windows, or if you buy it on Windows, you get it on Xbox. I love that. And I also love the ability to do cross-play. I think that's awesome, right? Because some people are going to want PC, some people are going to want Xbox. So, if those two trends continue, I think that'd be great. Halo, will we see that? I don't know if we'll see Halo 5, unless something happens at E3, but maybe Halo 6. I hope they keep going in this direction, because right now I can't afford a really fancy gaming rig. I like my Xbox, but I'd love to be able to, that when I can buy a new gaming rig, I'd love to be able to just jump on there and play on my Xbox One game. So I hope it goes that way.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Gray and Prime. You mentioned the Unlocked IGN podcast, and they brought this up as well about not Halo 5, but Halo 6, that it could be day and date. And I think that's probably right, to be able to build it to work on both platforms in development versus trying to go back and port it is probably not, the profit margins won't be there, but I think building it up so that it can release like Quantum Break did and other things is going to be beneficial.
Yeah, I like kind of like this trend. Obviously we have Halo now. That's getting into, I guess if you want to call it mods, but we got Fallout 4. I'm not sure. I don't think that's released yet, but I think it's going to be soon that you can bring over mods from the PC. I'm actually kind of interesting to see how that works, because obviously there's a lot of IPs that people make on the PC. You can be that Kylo Ren or some property that obviously on PC I guess it's okay, like no one ever says anything, but if they're going to bring it over to if they'll actually bring it over to the Xbox and let you play on it, or I think it's going to come out on PC, or I'm sorry, PS4 too eventually, but it'll be interesting to see how they regulate that. And I believe Ark is actually going to have mod support sometime during the summer. I know they released a an update recently where one of the maps was actually a community made map, so that's kind of cool that they're kind of going that way. And any other thoughts on that and just mods in general?
You know, the Fallout 4 mods for Xbox are just went into beta this week, I think. You know, I wasn't really very interested in it, but then I saw this new mod that makes Fallout 4, instead of looking drab and dreary, post-apocalyptic, it makes it look lush and green. And I'm like, man, I wish I could get that mod for Fallout 4 on my Xbox One, because I might really, really enjoy playing that game a lot more if it was more like a Skyrim environment than a wasteland, you know, Destiny Earth type of environment. So I think that would be cool. I really do.
Yeah, that was the big problem I had with Fallout 3. And actually, I think they might have varied maybe the environments a little bit more in 4, or from what I've seen. But I guess, you know, there's only so much you can do if it's, you know, post-apocalyptic, you know, scenery. So so then my final news item, which actually just came out, I just saw today, came out today, is they're going to actually have a public event during E3 this year. So it's actually going to be in the LA, let me see here, I lost it, dang it. It's not going to be in the regular convention center. It's going to be right next door at the LA Live Complex, I think it's, believe it's called. And it's going to run basically June 14th through the 16th, so pretty much parallel with the regular show, which is regular E3, obviously, if you don't know, is just for the press and, you know, retailers and stuff like that to come down and, you know, check out all the games. Obviously, we get all our, you know, the big news comes out of there. But they're actually having these free days where there's going to be games and just merchandise and live entertainment, they say, and stuff like that. So it'll be interesting to see how that actually plays out. And I'm kind of wondering, though, why they announced this so late. Well, I guess it's kind of first come, first serve basis, according to the article, as far as tickets, because you actually have to buy tickets to get in. But I don't know. I just thought it was interesting that they're going to have this live event coinciding with the, you know, the regular E3. And I don't know. Do you guys think, like, in the future, they'll just kind of combine it all into one, you know, big show? And, you know, because I think, is it Tokyo Game Show or maybe Gamescom, where they kind of, they split it in between, you know, just the press events, and then they have a public days later on in the week or so. So I don't know. What do you guys think of this news?
Well, do you know, is it being promoted by the same people who are doing E3, or is it a completely different entity who just, you know, has decided that they're going to capitalize on everybody's excitement and focus on E3 to do a more public-facing event?
It says from the Entertainment Software Association, so I believe that's the same people that run E3. I'm not totally sure, I guess.
No, yeah, yep, you're right.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Yeah, so, yeah, it's from the same people, so it's... should be interesting, I guess. Now, I don't know how much, like, larger the or smaller the LA Live Complex building is, and, you know, obviously compared to the convention center, it's probably, you know, super huge if I'm comparing it to, like, any of the convention centers by me in Chicago, but I'm assuming it's a smaller venue.
So, to me, part of this feels like...
Oh, go ahead.
I think it's a great idea, but it feels like it's a response to... A number of bigger name publishers pulling out of E3, where EA is doing their own EA Play and they're not part of it. Disney had announced that they were pulling out. That was before they announced that they were pulling out of all console game development. Activision hasn't been at E3 for a while. Nintendo's not there. So I wonder how much of this is a response and how much of this is kind of a planned foray into increasing presence for the ESA.
Gray, you're going to say something?
No, I was just going to say pretty much what DB was saying. That it, to me, I think it's a great idea. I think the only spin I would throw on it is, you know, one of the problems I found with PAX, I did not go to PAX this year. One of the things that problems I found with PAX East specifically was the last couple of times I went, it was just immensely crowded, and you know, it's hard to have a venue. You know, if you're going to do this, do it right and get a big enough venue, and don't cram everybody in there. You know, make sure it's big enough and spread out enough, and limit the tickets so that it's not a crush. You know, make it long enough, maybe make it a week long event, but you know, that's what I threw out there. I think it's a good way for them to go, because I mean, Right now, you have to be in the you have to be official press to get into E3, and you know, having something for the fans would be great.
Yeah, they don't mention like what they're going to actually have there specifically as far as games, but obviously more than likely they'll have all the, you know, upcoming titles and whatever's available that they have for show. I'm assuming demoed for the, you know, the press too. So it should, yeah, it should be interesting. If anybody doesn't have anything else, we can go on to the next segment.
Yeah, I'm looking at the time here. I'm going to squash the third segment with my band hammer. Boom! just because looking at the time, we're over time. But I do want to go around and say, does anybody have any final words? We're going to go in reverse order. We'll start with Zeus, put him first. Anything else you want to say before we close out, Zeus?
Yeah, my last two things are project reports. So one thing I missed during my what I've been playing section was I have been playing a lot of Halo 5 as well, multiplayer. Happened to come across a few people who were playing at a time that lined up pretty well with my schedule, and so finally got around to playing some multiplayer. Started off rerunning the co-op because there are still parts of the co-op that I haven't seen because I've never run the campaign through in one clean linear sequence, and then I played some multiplayer. So I've finally gotten over my multiplayer phobia, just because we've been playing and taking our time to let some of the guys explain to me some of the game modes, which has been the thing that's always turned me off to Halo, was constantly being thrown into game modes where I didn't understand what the objectives were. So that's one, and then two, for streaming, I've been trying to stream some Android games, some mobile games, and I think I just had the two components come in that I need for a hardware streaming setup, which are a couple of splitters that that take the HDMI signal, because I'm trying to stream by sending everything to Chromecast, and these things then take the HDMI signal and strip out the HDCP. So I think I'll be able to use that to both stream PlayStation 3 games as well as get some mobile games video captured as well. And that's all I've got.
Cool. Prime, anything else before we call it a night?
Yeah, just two quick things also. Just to bring us back to the movies, gaming movies, we also have the Assassin's Creed movie that's coming out, I believe, this fall. I think they just released a trailer, or it might have just been a teaser trailer. So I don't know if you guys got to see that. And also just a question for DB on the Battleborn tap game that he was playing, the mobile game. Does that like unlock anything for the actual game itself?
Not nearly as much, right? Again, it feels like a really squandered opportunity. It unlocks one or two character skins, which are just a color coding for some of the different characters. So, but that did it within the first couple times of playing. So there's not a long.
Anything else you want to add, DB?
Yeah, I guess I'll give a shout-out to Zeus, who I've been able to pop in on a little bit with some Halo 5 multiplayer. So thanks for letting me drop in unexpectedly. Again, it's fun to just jump in there, and the Halo 5 multiplayer still continues to be enjoyable. That it's a new season every month that resets your rank, and the whole ranking there, after playing a couple of weeks of popping in and out of Destiny and skill-based matchmaking and waiting so long to find a game, that 343 and Halo's ranking system continues to put me into enjoyable matches. So I'll say that, and I'll also give a shout-out to other CAG, World Voyager, and BuckFan, who have been playing some Battlefield 4 again as well.
Oh, yeah, shout out to, I think it was World Voyager who posted, was it World? Or was it Prime? Now I can't remember. Who posted
for the free maps?
Yes.
Yep, I think that was World, yep.
Up. Yeah, I picked them up both for the PC and for the Xbox One. So thank you very much, World Voyager. Really, really appreciate that, man. Kudos, thank you.
We need to get our Halo Nights again started up. I think we used to do it on Saturdays for a little bit there. Got to start them up again. Or any night, actually.
Oh, I would love to join you guys, but I'm usually in bed way before you guys start. That's when you're cursed at getting up at 4 a.m. You know, gentlemen, thank you all for coming out for another awesome podcast. It's always great to be a co-host with you. in the Band of Gamers podcast. And I want to thank you, our listeners, for listening. And we'd love to hear from you. Have comments, questions, suggestions? Drop us an email over at podcast@bandofgamers.net. And for the entire crew, DBQ Hams, Osiris Prime, Zeus Adamus, and myself, Greylock3491, I want to thank you again for listening. And until next time, peace.